This is you, Ziv.
And this is In-Flight Entertainment.
The freaky January movie month, and this is the last movie, aka Throwback Thursday movie. And Genoa is gonna, I guess, give us a little insight on why we picked this one. I don't even think she knows how we picked this one.
Right. So we are diving into the world of Pretty Poison. Mm-hmm. It was a request, but for the life of me, I have no idea where the request came from. I don't know if it was on a work call. I don't know if it was a text message from someone, but it ended up on our movies to review, and it felt like a good movie to put into January's freaky flicks.
Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Before we find out what was happening, so this movie came out September 18th, 1968, not to be confused with the 1996 movie Pretty Poison, but right, basically the same story. Are you happy I watched the correct Pretty Poison?
Yes, I am. Oh, yeah, because we all want another Transformers situation.
Right.
I watched the 96 one.
I mean, it had the guy from Melrose Place in it. Why wouldn't I watch that one?
Sure. Oh, goodness. Now, like Jen was saying, this is the year of 68. That was the year this movie was released. And, okay, well, people were watching on TV in 68. Well, some of these I don't know, a few I do. Number 5 was A Family Affair. And okay. Number 4 was Mayberry RFD. I think that was a spinoff from Andy Griffin, I'm assuming. Bonanza, number 3, know that one. Goma Pyle, USMC, was number 2. I know that one. And number one, this was kind of like when the counterculture was, you know, in full swing. Number one was Rowan and Martin's Laughing.
Okay.
Yeah, because what was it? Lily Tomlin and like Goldie Hawn was on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eddie Interesting. I do remember that catchphrase. yeah, some people was watching and, okay, the song is a Beatles song. Which one is it?
Hey Jude?
Yep.
Seriously?
Yep. Hey Jude.
Holy crap. Yeah. I'm so proud of myself for guessing that.
Oh, wow. I thought you just do. Like, oh, hey Jude. Wow. That's it. You know, Final Jeopardy, if it's music based off years, I tell you, you're going to bring home the loot. You're going to bring home that bacon, girl. yeah. So, hey Jude, it dominated for weeks, of course, because it's a Beatles song.
A ripoff of black music.
I mean, well, that's another conversation I'll go. and so this movie, Pretty Poison, is directed by Noel Black, from Chicago, born in 1937 in Chateau. And like his filmography, I mean, he did, you know, shows here and there. He died in 2014. Yeah, I think the last movie he did was in 1983, actually. And that was a Private School. No, never seen that one.
I don't think I saw that movie.
Yeah. But yeah, so that, and of course the movie stars the two leads, Anthony Perkins of Norman Bates fame, Psycho, and Tuesday Will. I don't really know what else is she in?
I dived into her IMDb page and I didn't really recognize anything. But there's a couple other actors in the movie I did recognize. Beverly Garland and John Randolph.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, the two most important characters in the movie are Anthony Perkins and Tuesday Wilde. So this movie, it is about when a mentally disturbed young man tells a pretty girl that he's a secret agent. She believes him, and murder and mayhem ensue.
Now, would you say that's a good IMDb description for this movie?
Absolutely, yes.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah, so we start out, and it's funny, because I didn't read the IMDb description until halfway through the movie. Maybe not halfway, like a third way through the movie. I was like, what the fuck am I watching? And then I went and read this. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm grounded. Now I'm ready to finish the movie. But we start out the movie meeting Anthony Perkins' character, Dennis Pitt. And he's talking to a man played by John Randolph, and he's saying, not everyone lives in a fantasy world. I was like, oh, okay, we're going into a fantasy world. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think Dennis Pitt has a bit of schizophrenia or some sort of other mental health issue that he's working through. And he's on medication for it. And we find out that he was in a health facility because he killed his parents. Or the people he was living with as a kid in a fire. He did that on accident, but...
Right. So he says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we meet him, and he's now living in a small town where he works in a factory that's polluting the rivers. And I honestly thought this was going to be a movie all about, like, him investigating this company that's polluting the rivers and him trying to take them down. And then I read the IMDb description. I was like, oh, this has nothing to do with him. Well, I'm confused.
Yeah, he's definitely not an environmentalist. No stretch of the imagination.
Right. And then there's like creepy filming of the marching band and the majorettes. And I was like, is he a pedophile? What? Oh, I'm just... So many things going on in the beginning of this movie.
Yeah, most definitely. So what was the actual like thing that they were making in the factory? It was like pink. It was like, what was it like? They never really explained like what was in those vials, right?
They don't explain it. In my mind, in my 2021 mind, I assumed it was vaccines because it looked like a vaccine vial. But it could have been perfume. It could have been like coloring or food essence.
Yeah.
All we know is it's a factory.
Right.
That makes something in vials.
Yeah. So
it's heroin. Who knows?
Maybe. Soil and Green. Maybe. You know. Yeah, it could be a crossover movie. So I think he convinces his parole officer to like not check up on him. Like he can kind of take care of everything. Like, you know, he'll work, you know, he won't like do any crazy things, like trust him. Like he got everything taken care of. And you know, what's really a testament to Anthony Perkins' performance is even when he was putting on, you know, like the story or the fib about him being, you know, Secret Service or CIA or whatever he was like saying, and kind of roping her into this lie. Like he was saying it with, to the point he delivered it to her like you believed him. Like you were believing the fact that he was in the CIA because he was so matter of fact about like, okay, meet me here, you know, like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, blah, 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 and bring this in. I'm gonna call you. It was like he was just so it was he didn't stutter. It's like he didn't have to think about it. He was just delivering like the instructions. Like he just knew what to do at the moment because he's an agent and he know how to intercept.
So he meets this like young girl. She's 17 or 18. She's still in high school, still living with her mom. And he convinces her that he's a secret agent. And their entire first interaction is him telling her that she needs to meet him in this secret location and she needs to do these things and hide the photos. And they're here to take down the evil corporation that's polluting the river. So I guess sort of environmentalists going on there. And she then manipulates him into, you need to help me escape from my mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they have a really good relationship.
Right. So they, like, jumping to the, like, middle stanza of the movie, they rig bad things to happen at the factory. Mm-hmm. In order to shut the factory down. But while they're doing that, she kills a security guard.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, the next day, the cops are after him because he has a history of setting fires and doing bad things. And they question her. And she convinces them that, like, she's not involved in anything. And then last scene, or end of the second part of the movie, She kills her mom, but frames him for it.
Yeah. So the queen bee gets away.
Okay. So my question for you. So I watched this right after I watched Tenet. And so my mind was all like, oh, wait a minute. Did she know that he was approaching her about, like, crazy ass shit? Was she aware that he was crazy? And so she knew to manipulate him into getting what she wanted out of the situation, because she's the psychopath in the movie. He just needs better mental health. She's a fucking psychopath in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, she took advantage. So, I mean, I think that's what's really unique about this movie. Like, it, yeah.
Like, you spend the entire movie thinking he's the bad guy.
Right. But, you know, she either, A, he helped her unlock something that was dormant in her, or like you were saying, or B, she was just waiting for that stooge to come along so she can do what she wanted to do to people she wanted to do them to. And have her fall guy, and she can just continue with her life.
Right. So the reason why I think that she knew that he was crazy and setting him up as a stooge, there's two scenes that made me think that.
Okay.
Right after she, so right before she kills her mom, she has him hold the gun.
Mm.
And then when he decides that he can't go through with it, she then takes the gun, but holds it with the cloth. Right. So her fingerprints aren't on there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they're putting the mom in the trunk of the car, she has the vials and clues from the factory in the trunk of the car. So she had to know when they were at the factory that she was going to be using him to take the fall for killing her mom. So I feel like from the beginning, she knew that she was going to be manipulating him.
Okay. So you think that, like, she knew that he was, like, kind of, you know, taking pictures from afar, or just, like,
I think she knew that he had mental health issues. Yeah. It's a small town. She probably heard things, knew that he was an easy target to manipulate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, those best psychopaths, right? And she was the Joker before the Joker. Well, I mean, Joker was out before her, but still.
And I was trying to, like, it made me think of, this would be the perfect female serial killer, and why aren't there any female serial killers that have done this yet? So then I went into the rabbit hole of female serial killers, and there aren't any female serial killers that have basically used men to, there's lots of couple serial killers out there,
mm-hmm.
but it's usually the men being the primary dominant person in the relationship. abusing the female versus the female targeting the man to then take the fall for the killing. She's like the kudos to the writer for writing, especially in the 60s.
Yeah, because it's actually based, this is based off of a book called She Let Him Continue by Stephen Geller. So, yeah, I mean, it was some literature out there in the 60s, stuff like this that was pretty unique.
And, you know, there's a couple things in the movie that I appreciated that, like, they referenced Vietnam a couple times, which was very, like, on target for the time that this movie was released.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a lot. And also, with her, like, the main character, and then it kind of put that whole like car scene and the whole drug thing into play. Because when you first watch it, you're like, oh God.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, ooh, is he roofing her?
Exactly.
Oh, he just gave her acid and he's gonna rape her. I'm like, oh, this does not feel right.
Yeah. But then at the end, you're like, oh, okay. So pretty much she was in control of it all. You know.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah. So, no, it was a good subversion, like subversion of what you thought it was gonna go opposite where it went.
Right, and like poor Anthony Perkins, because of this movie, where he plays a mentally disturbed character, and his character Norman Bates in Psycho, another mentally disturbed person that he was typecast as an actor that does a great job of playing mentally disturbed people. So
yeah, that's true.
Amazing job, but I'm sad that he was typecast.
He was just so good at it. Oh yeah, he was in Mahogany also. He was like the crazy obsessive like photographer or something like that, you know. Yeah, he was good at doing that type of stuff, so you know, he was the man. the movie do not end without a little inkling of hope that she may be caught, because the correctional officer was kind of like looking at her a little bit like,
The movie starts out with Dennis and the correctional officer talking about him going out into the real world, and he's caught and now he's in jail. And so they like go back to that first scene, but now he's in jail and he's telling his correctional officer, you know, don't believe everything you see. If I were you, I would go back and check out Sue Ann, who's played by Tuesday Weld. Mm-hmm. And so the correctional officer goes back to the small town, and then we see Sue Ann picking up another guy to help her get out of a bad situation.
Yeah. I'm like, who else does she need to kill at this point? Like, just get out of town.
Seriously.
Oh, man.
Maybe she's in it for the insurance money. And then she's sort of like a black widow, but for her guardians.
That could be. Now, was there ever a true crime situation where like a teacher manipulated a student to do? I heard
the Nicole Kidman movie that was based on the true story, where the teacher convinces her student to kill her husband.
I mean, well, that's, you know, that's one. like manipulating to do your bidding, I guess. This is definitely a unique one, and I was pleasantly surprised at the twist, because when you hear the title, like you were saying, you're thinking like, oh, maybe it's like a environmentalist thing, like it's a crusade. The pretty poison is the poison that's being spilled out in this is a pretty town.
Yeah, the title is a nice play on the pollution going into the river, and you think that it's a pretty poison. Maybe what they're creating in the factory is something about beauty. And by the end of the movie, you realize pretty poison refers to Sue Ann being pretty and poisonous to the men around her. So
yeah, I mean, awesome title. I mean, when it's done, like, oh damn, that's a damn good title for this movie, because you think it's one thing, but it's another.
Yeah. Okay, so our rating is: sit on the sofa, enjoy the movie, put on your shoes, or go outside and expose yourself to maskless people.
Whichever celestial phenomenon that popped this movie into your list, thank them, because it's definitely a sit down. I was really pleasantly surprised with this movie. I mean, it wasn't long. It wasn't even an hour and a half. I think it was an hour and a half. But yeah,
it's agreed. Sit down. It's an hour and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Why have I never heard of this movie? It's...
Yeah, well, thank the movie guys for popping this into your list, or whoever gonna be like, oh, it was me, but I'm sure they're probably gonna text or something. I suggested it. That was good. And like I said, it made me want to go down the Anthony Perkins, filmography rabbit hole, because he's such an amazing actor. He just know how to play on his screen presence and the things that he bring out on screen. He just know how to lean into it and make it super effective and just magnetic to watch. Tuesday Well and him, they play off each other really well. And
I know in interviews she said that this is the worst performance she's ever done, but man, she does a really good job of playing the female that is helpless and then manipulative, and you kind of want to save her and kill her at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, no, definitely. It's a good one, guys. If you haven't seen this movie, give it a look. I mean, it's a good hour and a half of your time.
Yeah, you can find it on Amazon Prime. I think you can find it on YouTube also. Go out there and watch it. Don't watch the 96 one. Watch the 1968 version.
Yeah, watch the 68. Oh, yeah, watch the real one. Yeah, so there you have it. Pretty Poison. And that will include our freaky January movie months. And next month, we're going to get into some blackety black stuff and an occasional white movie. but it's love. But it's all love. So it's going to be all love. Yeah. And so then we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
wear a fucking mask.
Yes,
please.
Yes, let's get this thing out of control, y'all. Peace.